This is ABC News Daily. I'm Sam Hawley. The summer holidays have finished and kids are starting to head back to school. But in some states, students are still stuck at home amid fears their return to the classroom could lead to another Omicron surge, leaving us all vulnerable. Today, the ABC's National Education and Parenting Reporter, Connor Duffy, on who's really making the decisions on whether it's safe for schools to open. Connor, what is the fear about school kids being back in the classroom?
The big fear is that since school ended, the Omicron variant has taken hold. And while the consequences of infection might not be as serious as earlier strains of the virus, it's a massive shift in thinking. For the last 2 years when we've been in situations like this, parents have been told to stay home and now they're being told that they need to live with this. And many of them are really worried and anxious about what's going to happen when they do go back to school. A lot of the parents I've spoken to over summer holidays have said they've really been lying low and their kids really haven't even been hanging out with their friends, and they're kind of torn now that school's going back because they really want them to have that socialising and kind of that whole side of education again, but they're worried about what it's going to bring.
As you say, Omicron sort of changed everything a bit. I mean, is this really just an experiment going back into the classroom and kind of seeing what happens?
Yeah, look, I think it is. At the peak of the Alpha and Delta waves in Australia, schools were closed in the states where the numbers were highest and we were really strict on, you know, drop-offs. Now, obviously, we're still going to have some of those COVID protocols in place and some boundaries around it, but we're really doing something new and different to what we've done before. And we have seen this play out overseas, and we know that there's been a huge shortage of teachers just about everywhere in the world from teachers getting sick. In some places, that's getting really extreme, particularly in the US. And the governor of the state of New Mexico just signed on herself as a substitute teacher because she's trying to encourage the rest of the state to do the same. And in that state, they're at the point where they really just want a warm body in the classroom to supervise the class. So I do think, you know, some of the disruptions we've seen to supply chains and workers being sick is going to be a huge issue for the school system.
So one of the big factors is rather than kids getting sick, it's the teachers getting sick.
Yeah, absolutely. Because throughout the pandemic, you know, all the evidence has been, thankfully, that kids don't get as sick as adults. But teachers have told me they're very nervous. And again, like with parents, there's, you know, teachers who are older or teachers who have an extra complication, perhaps in terms of an immunocompromised family member. They, you know, are really worried about this.
Connor, it's so confusing, isn't it? Because every state is going sort of in a different direction, even though the borders are largely open and the virus is the same, regardless of which state you're in.
Yeah.
You know, why is it like that?
Look, I think it's politics, not health. As you say, there's no Australian variant that behaves differently as it travels to states in our federation. I think what's happening now is we're entering a new year and a new electoral cycle. We've got a federal election, we've got state elections coming up in New South Wales and Victoria, and states are just going it alone and doing what they think is best for their state or for their political interest.
So you're saying the scientists aren't making these decisions, they're political decisions.
Yeah, the advice from Australia's leading healthcare professionals on the Australian Health Protection Principal Committee is still that schools are safe and that, you know, the benefits of keeping schools open in terms of kids' development and well-being far outweigh the risks. But now, you know, we're seeing premiers basically acting in their own best interests, perhaps not really the kids' best interests. And we're seeing a move away from a more unified response. Earlier in the pandemic, we had a federal government that was very assertive in demanding that schools stay open. They're not doing that now. And so instead you have state governments making the decision. And in every state, teacher unions are one of the biggest and most powerful stakeholders that state governments have to manage. And the message from teacher unions is loud and clear that they don't want to put their members at risk.
So, Connor, you're sort of almost saying that the unions are having a huge influence on what the governments are doing, but that's got nothing to do with kids' health.
Yeah, that's right. They really are huge players. In my time in the education round, a recurring nightmare in just about every ministerial office has been the thought of tens of thousands of teachers marching on their state parliament down, say, Macquarie Street here in Sydney or George Street in Brisbane, and that's a very real and live threat. Union membership in Australia has been in a very long decline, and it's now only 14% for the private and public sector, but with teachers, it's much, much higher. They are the largest union by percentage of members involved. I think it's about 31% of teachers are still in a union. So these are incredibly powerful organisations that know how to wield it. If you go back through Australian political history, you saw strikes in the 60s leading to the establishment of the Catholic education system. In the 80s, Malcolm Fraser tried and failed to break ACT teacher unions, tried to sack about 2,800 teachers, and it didn't go well for him. As well as having large members, teachers have a presence in the lives of children who go home to their parents, and, you know, they're embedded in the community, and when they go on strike, people really notice.
But just pack that down for me, Connor. So in New South Wales and Victoria, schools are back. In Queensland, they're delayed, for instance. So what's that got to do with the union in those states?
Yeah, you're right. And it is a crazy situation where, say, at the very southern part of Queensland, Coolangatta High will be closed, but less than 5 kilometres down the road in the Tweed Valley, their high schools will be open. The Queensland Premier's telling people that it isn't safe for students to return.
It is not desirable to have our children back starting school during the peak of this wave.
And the New South Wales Premier is telling them that it's in their best interest.
As the World Health Organisation has said, our schools should be the first to open and the last to close.
So the dynamic in Queensland is altered by the fact that the Education Minister, Grace Grace, is a former prominent unionist. She was the first female General Secretary of the Queensland Council of Unions. She has deep and lasting connections to the unions, and essentially, the government there has acted in a way that is very good for teachers who've, you know, done great work through the pandemic, had to adapt on the fly to remote learning. But it's really not a great outcome for parents who've used up a lot of leave looking after kids, and they're in Brisbane having to do that again despite Australia's leading panel of health experts telling us that it's safe.
So the situation is the unions don't want school to go back because they're worried about their teachers. They're powerful, and then governments want to cozy up to the union, and that's then leading to schools being delayed. Is that actually what's happening?
Yeah, I believe it is. I think there's plenty of evidence to show that that's what's happening. I think, you know, when I speak to ministers and their staff, they're acutely aware of the union's power. We have seen South Australia's education union threaten to strike. The Teachers Federation in New South Wales would like to strike, but they've been restrained by a court order after their first strike in about 10 years last year. I've also been looking at some really interesting research out of the US from Michigan State University. A professor of education policy there, Catherine Strunk, looked at all the different teaching outcomes across the US. And what she found was that where teacher unions were more powerful, judging basically on how many members they had and how much clout they have in negotiating, that students were much more likely to end up learning remotely.
Right, so it's happening in America too. I guess the unions argue that kids going back to school not only endangers teachers though, but also the wider community as the disease spreads more quickly. The counter argument, I suppose, is that really kids need to be in school because it's better for their mental health, for their physical well-being, and for their education, of course. So what's the evidence showing, Connor?
We really don't know for sure what the impact is, but more and more we've seen bodies like UNICEF, the Australian Commissioner for Young People, standing up and saying that, you know, the voices of our smallest, littlest people aren't being heard, and that we need more and more to put them front and centre of the decisions that we're making, and we need to recognise that cutting off childcare or school has a huge impact on them.
Connor Duffy is the ABC's National Education and Parenting Reporter. A spokeswoman for Queensland's Education Minister, Grace Grace, says the delay to the start of school is a common sense decision based on avoiding the predicted Omicron peak. She says students will be returning to the classroom as planned on February the 7th. The Queensland Teachers Union says many parents support the delay. This episode was produced and mixed by Chris Dengate. Supervising producer is Stephen Smiley. A special thanks to Daniel Golding, who composed our theme music. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. You'll be able to find all of our episodes on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. To get in touch with the team, email us on abcnewsdaily@abc.net.au. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.